I'd like to start today with a public confession. Yes, my name's Chip Ingram. I am a pastor, and my personal testimony about evangelism is this. In the early years, I hated it. The way I was taught made me hate evangelism. If you can identify with this and would like a great alternative and get liberated, stick around.
Pretty surprising from a pastor, isn't it? Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. And if you can identify with Chip's feelings about evangelism, if you dread the thought of having to share your faith, then stay tuned. Today he's going to help us break out of the one-size-fits-all approach to evangelism to discover the style that fits you. As always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can always hear it online by going to lote.org. That's L-O-T-E, livingontheedge.org, and then click on the Listen Online button there on our homepage. Well, now let's join Chip for today's message, Building Bridges to Eternity.
1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And as I read this, listen to how liberating it is to share Christ, share love, share what God has done in a way that fits you. Peter writes, "But in your heart set apart or sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." And then this was the good part. "But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." I studied this passage. I came up with about three or four observations that the lights came on, and I went from having this very bad attitude about, quote, evangelism, sharing my faith, witnessing, to like this liberation. My first observation was it all begins with my relationship with God. Set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. I realized this isn't about a performance. This isn't about what some guy thinks of what I do. This is about, first and foremost, me living in relationship with God. And it needs to flow not out of guilt or oughts or shoulds. You know, you do that, you care about people. The second thing I noticed, it says, always be prepared. Witnessing or sharing your faith isn't something you do on a certain night or a certain time. It's a lifestyle. The third observation is that it's probably going to happen almost always out of relationships. For most of us, it's probably going to flow out of general, regular, everyday relationships. I mean, how can anybody ask about the hope that's in you if you don't have a relationship, if you haven't hung out together, if they don't see you and know you? And so what I saw was, this is really in the context of relationships. And then the final observation is that it's about getting to give my life and my heart as an instrument of Christ. It's not about giving a little spiel. It's not about cornering someone somewhere and saying, okay, do you know this? And boom, 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 so I don't feel bad. It says with gentleness, with respect. God has many different ways. He's uniquely designed you to communicate the love of Christ, and you become a bridge to eternity to people in different ways. And what I want you to know is most believers don't get that. I want to show you seven ways, right from the Bible, about how to communicate your faith to people that are desperately hurting and a God who loves them deeply. The first six come right out of the text. The seventh I didn't have a passage for, but I saw it all throughout church history, so I added that one. Are you ready? Number one is what I call Peter's confrontational style. Let me read to you what it is. This approach is for those who have either the personality or the spiritual gift of being very bold, clearly articulating the message of Jesus, and they do it many times with people they've never met. This person has no trouble in getting more or less straight to the point. He confronts with the facts. He or she doesn't beat around the bush. However, this direct approach in sharing your faith doesn't mean that you're harsh or there's any sense of pushiness. It's done with a broken, caring heart for those who don't know Christ. It's approximated that about 10% of believers have this spiritual gift. And where do I get that? Chapter 2 of Acts. Remember Peter? I mean, he's filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit comes, people are hearing the gospel in their own languages from all over the world. Peter steps up and says, hey guys, no, we're not drunk. God, and he pulls a couple passages out of Joel, God said this would happen. And then he says, this man that God made both Lord and Christ, you have crucified. And I mean, he shoots it really straight, really boldly. And then the people say, well, what should we do? And he says, you need to believe. You need to trust that the God, fully man, Jesus who died on the cross, he paid the penalty for your sin. And you need to realize you were wrong about him. And he loves you and he wants to forgive your sins right now. And 3,000 people come to Christ. And that's pretty bold. Now, some people have the spiritual gift or a personality type that they can, you know, sit on planes or over coffee in coffee shops or meet strangers. And I mean, they can just kind of get to it, share it, and do it in a way where people don't feel offended. John Saville was the greatest evangelist I've ever met. He's now home with the Lord. And I knew him as he was near the retirement years. John was very quiet. He actually had a very shy personality. I saw him in social settings, and John may not say much. Kind of a reserved guy with a real gentleness about him. And now and then he would say, hey, Chip, why don't you come down? He owned a CPA firm. And in one of those glass buildings, you know, like 50 stories and all that stuff, and he was on this floor. He said, why don't you come down? I want you to meet some of the guys, and we'll go to lunch. I said, well, gosh, John, I'd love to. So I go and sit in his office, and we chit-chat. He says, well, let's go to lunch. So, I mean, this is Dallas. Picture this, you know, three-piece suits, power ties, everyone, you know, really powered up, you know, and business and women in the business suits. And so we get on the elevator, you know, mirrors and the wood. And so people do in Dallas what they do all over the world in elevators, right? Everyone gets in and they all look at the numbers like, now this is a shy man. And John leans over and smiles to this lady. And he said, did you know that Jesus loves you? And I'm going, oh, man. John, you're killing me. What? I'm his pastor. He's embarrassing me. I can almost feel the guy snickering in the background. I'm thinking, don't do evangelism. You haven't built a relationship. You just violated all the rules. John, what in the world are you doing? And I'm thinking, oh, so two guys get off, and that's good. And then we go off a little bit more. And this is Dallas. This is the Bible Belt. So she tilts her head, and she goes, you know, I've heard a lot about that. But no, I don't think I really understand that Jesus could love a person like me. And John said, would you like to know how? And she says, yes, sir, I really would. And he said, well, this elevator's moving kind of fast. He pulled out a track, jotted his name, said, I'm on this floor. One of the gals in the office and myself, why don't you read this and then give me a call? And the lady gets off, the door's open, the lady gets off, she takes it, like she just was given, you know, like a $5,000 bill. Thank you. They knew each other like 30 seconds. John did this everywhere all the time. John, once a month, would fly all over the country and go into prisons and share Christ and lead 10, 15, 20 people to Christ every weekend. And he did that with Bill Glass. Maximum security prisons. He's got the gift. One style of sharing your faith is this direct and confrontation, not as in cornering people, but confronting people with the truth with such a winsome, loving attitude that they respond. Now, that's the first way. Let me give you a couple strengths and weaknesses of this approach, and then I'll have you evaluate where you're at on it. Strengths of this approach, it communicates the gospel directly, concisely, clearly, and to a lot of people. A weakness, if not done with great relational sensitivity, you can come off pushy and overbearing. So on a scale of 1 to 10, if 1 is, I can't imagine doing this ever, and a 10 is, that's me. You mean this outgoing personality could be used for some good? You know, my obnoxiousness would be turned good for God? Yeah. A 7 is, I've never done much of this, but down deep it sounds kind of exciting. A 3 is, you know, car wreck, person's dying, I'll do it, God, but, you know, please don't ask me to, all right? Second way to build bridges to those who don't know Christ is beyond the confrontational style. There's Paul. Peter's confrontational. Paul, the intellectual approach. Let me read you a definition. This approach is for those who like giving logical and reasonable presentations of their faith. They lay out sound explanation, work with ideas and concepts, present a case, allow the other person to ask questions, and supply them with answers through a relationship. The person may have this as their natural approach will probably enjoy reading books on apologetics. This was Paul in Acts 17. Do you remember that? Paul finds himself in Athens. And his buddies didn't show up on time, and he's feeling a little bit blue, we find out from another passage in 2 Corinthians. And then he just looks around and says, man, this is sad. All these idols. And the text says he was deeply troubled in his spirit. And so Paul was one of the best intellects of his day and one of the best trained minds of the known world. I was trained under the best people. And so he goes to where all the philosophers would hang out in Athens. And basically says, now when you read this in Acts 17, I'm throwing a little in, okay? hey, guys, you mind if I join in? And they said, no, go ahead, Paul. And he says, you know, I noticed all these idols, and it's a religious, and you're a very intellectual group. And you can almost hear, oh, yeah, that's right, that's us. He said, well, I noticed this one is an idol to an unknown God. And I said, oh, yes, yes, yes. We want to make sure everyone's included, and so we weren't sure. We got one to an unknown God. He says, I know that one's name. And I know you guys are smart and wise and da-da-da-da. So pretty soon he talks about the unknown God and the one who lives and moves and knows all and created all that there is. And he works his way from that to Christ and then the resurrection and then the forgiveness of sins. And then some of them think he's nuts. Some of them believe. And some of them say, that's interesting. Why don't you come back next week and we'll talk about it more. Certain people have a desire to break down the walls of people who would consider Christianity, but their worldview is so much in one direction that they think to become a Christian or even to investigate it or even to imagine that Jesus could be the answer, they would have to take their brains and throw it in the trash. And so they're thinking, they have stereotypes of Christians, stereotypes of the Bible. And so they're thinking, you know what, I'll never go there. So God has raised up some people who love to talk about that at that level. I was in grad school and people were asking me lots of questions that I didn't have good answers for. And all I knew is, hey, God had changed my life. I was joyful, and I knew it was true, but I couldn't answer their questions. And I started feeling like, you know what? I don't want to throw my brains in the trash to be a believer. And Steve Vogel introduced me to a fellow named Francis Schaeffer. And I read these three books that are what's called his trilogy, the basis of his thinking. And I got a dictionary out and metaphysics and presupposition and epistemology. And I looked them up, and finally I read them, and I got it. And so by the time I ended up in graduate school, I thought, you know, I want to learn to answer the questions, the philosophical and intellectual questions the world's asking. And I thought, you know, you got to write one of these theses. My theory on theses is write it on something that you're really motivated on. And so I wrote my thesis on the intellectual plausibility that there's an absolute truth for right and wrong in sports. And so I found a professor that would let me do that, and I outlined all Schaeffer's work, and I did some philosophical research, and I applied it to sports in some areas. And then the day before I got married, it was one of the most fun days of my life. My dad drove down, and we drove down together to West Virginia University. Saturday, I'm going to get married. It's Friday. I'm done with my graduate work. They've taken this paper that I've written. They've marked it all up with red. And now, doctor, 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 they sit in this room, four of them, and I sit in a chair, and for 3 hours, I defend what I've written. I've never had so much fun in my whole life. And I realized, I mean, it was just like, whoa, let's go another hour. Because I'd done my homework, and so the one fellow was from a Jewish background, but not a practicing Jew. Dr. Ostroff said, you mean to tell me you really believe there's an absolute right and an absolute wrong? And, you know, he started pushing. I said, well, do you have a bedtime for your children? And he said, well, of course. I said, well, who are you to do that? Aren't you imposing your intolerant views on your children? Oh, well, that's my kids, and that's different. And then I pushed him, well, what about this? What if someone likes to shoot guns and came into your house and shot someone in your house, like your wife or one of your kids? He said, well, boy, that's wrong. I said, oh, wait a second. Says who? And so I kept pushing him, you know, presupposition, all the way back. Finally, Dr. Fell says, Andy, give it up. He said, and then she was a philosophy major. She said, Andy, we all know none of us want to believe there's absolutes in the theoretical, but practically speaking, we all live by them. And I had one of those opportunities where I realized I was so intimidated by all those PhDs and all that stuff. You do a little bit of homework, and it really gets kind of fun. And you find out there's archaeological reasons and there's scientific reasons. That's one that turns my butt. Now, I don't see myself at all as intellectual, but a lot of smart people have written lots of books that I can read. And so Francis Schaeffer and Josh McDowell and Oz Guinness and these guys, they'll do the research. Man, I'll share it. And now, there's some strengths and weaknesses. Let me give you the strengths. The strengths to this one are that it's logical, reasonable, and often breaks the ground for those who have assumptions about God or Christianity that are false. And they get to investigate in a safe place with someone that gives them real answers for their questions. The weakness is some people with this bent, they tend to intellectualize the faith. Because see, bottom line is you can get all the evidence. You know how you come to Jesus? By faith. You got to believe he died on the cross for your sin. He was raised from the dead. And when you have honest questions that are legit, you answer it. But you don't reason people into the kingdom. The other thing is when people get good at this and they read all these books, arrogance can take over and they get into proving that people are wrong Like, boy, that accomplishes a lot. Man, I just had this four-hour conversation with this unbeliever, and I was right, and he was wrong. And that person's no closer to Christ. In fact, they're farther away. You just failed. But you can get kind of motivated in that idea arena. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think? Put a number down. Are you kind of motivated? Or maybe if you read a little bit more, but it's sort of attractive? Or are you thinking, no way, never? Blind man's testimonial approach. The testimonial approach is this. This approach is a natural way for people to share how God has changed their life along with what they're learning or experiencing in their relationship with God. The emphasis is on telling the story of how you personally came to Christ and the new changes and insights that are happening in your life. This can be shared in one long story or short pieces as someone asks you questions about you. And here we have John chapter 9. Do you remember that? John 9, there's a guy who's a blind beggar. And the disciples look at him and say, hey, Lord, you know, was that his parents' fault or his fault? Because they had this presupposition that if there was suffering in the world, it was always related to sin. And Jesus said, no, wrong presupposition. In fact, the matter is, it's a fallen world. This person is blind because God has a special plan for his life. Oh, yeah? Yeah, for the glory of God. Watch this, guys. And so he goes over there, he makes a little mud, a little water, he puts it on his eyes. He says, go over to the pool of Siloam, wash it off. He washes it off. Everyone for years and years has seen this blind beggar, now he can see. In fact, they're going around saying, are you sure you're the same guy? He said, I'm the same guy. They go to his parents. Is this your son? Yeah, this is my son. The Pharisees come in and say, no way, this is a miracle. This is amazing. Who did this? He said, some guy named Jesus. Oh, Jesus, he's that sinner. Now listen carefully to the power of the testimonial approach. He's a beggar. He's uneducated. He has very low social stature. Here's the intellectual giants, the religious elite. Jesus is a sinner. Now listen to the power of personal experience. You know, guys, whether he's a sinner or not, where he comes from, I really don't know. I'm not in the same league with you about these very difficult, high, lofty questions. But can I go over something real slowly for you? I was blind. Now I see. And see, our personal experience is irrefutable. Now, there's strengths and weaknesses to this approach. The strengths are fairly obvious. It can be shared briefly and in pieces. It's very non-threatening. I mean, people, we're telling our stories all the time. Why not tell the part about Christ? The weaknesses is I think you have to be careful that you don't emphasize the past too much. You have to be careful that, one, you don't go way, way, way long. Where someone opens a door, and as believers, we think we got to get it all done right now. Remember? Watering, sowing, harvesting, just share a little, and then if they want more, they'll ask more. And trust God.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's talk today, Building Bridges to Eternity, is from his popular series, Going Public with Your Faith. If the thought of sharing your faith makes you uneasy or uncomfortable, this series is for you. Going Public with Your Faith goes beyond the basics to help you discover your evangelism style and then prepares you to tell others about Christ in the way that God designed you to communicate. You'll learn the proven methods for sharing your testimony, and you'll understand how to effectively witness to those people God has placed around you. Going Public with Your Faith is a 5-part CD series, and it's available right now from Living on the Edge for a special on-air discount price. You know, there's no greater joy than leading someone to Christ and watching God change a life for eternity. Call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 for complete pricing and ordering information for the series Going Public with Your Faith. Now, in addition to our current series, Chip has another great resource that he would like to share with you this month. It's a CD series called Why I Believe. Now, Chip is joining us here in studio to talk about this life-changing resource. Chip, what I heard as you began to talk today about the various styles of evangelism is that it frees a lot of us up, but it also terrifies some of us. Now, no matter what our evangelism style is, all of us are going to be faced with questions that we won't be able to answer. And I know this month we're trying to help solve this for many of our listeners. I want to take a moment and tell us a little more about this powerful resource.
Well, Dave, thanks. It's a series called Why I Believe. It's one, actually, in the last 2 years that we've had the greatest response to of anything we've ever put on the air. I have friends that work in
professions, as in physical therapy, doctor's offices, some social worker type people who, as they meet people, they just say, look, just listen to the series. Let me know what you think. You know, if you've ever thought about, you know, could God care about you? Some of the big questions you struggle with are in this series. Would you just listen to it? No pressure. I would love to know what you think. And they are seeing literally hundreds of people come to Christ. And so we want to put this tool, Why I Believe, into the hands of every single person listening so they can put it in the hands of someone that God loves and wants to reach.
Well, thanks, Chip. For a limited time, we're making this series, Why I Believe, available for a gift of any amount. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Living on the Edge. Now, to take advantage of this special offer, call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 with your gift of any amount, and we'll send you your copy of the five-part CD series, Why I Believe. That number again is 1-888-333-6003, 1-888-333-6003. Now here's Chip with some closing thoughts from today's message.
So let me ask you, what do you think is your style of building bridges to people that don't know Christ? Now, I've talked about the first three today, and I'll have four more in our next broadcast. But what went through your mind as you heard me identifying actually three different approaches to sharing your faith? Now, I don't know about you, but if you've kind of been in the evangelical community for a while, probably the first one, Peter's confrontational approach, is the one that you learned. And if you're a really committed Christian, if you really love God, regardless of your personality, regardless of your background, regardless of your spiritual gift, you know, real Christians that really love God walk up to strangers they don't know, they go around and knock on doors, and they say, hi, and then you have this sort of canned approach, and you lay it on people. And what I find is that a lot of believers don't do very well with that approach. Now, let me be very quick. People with the spiritual gift of evangelism, or I've met people that don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism, but they have a personality type. They have never met a stranger, and they can get into conversations, and the word confrontation doesn't even come to their mind. They just build bridges with everybody in an amazing way. That is one way, and if you have it, praise the Lord, press ahead, keep using it. But it's not the only way. Of all the messages in this series that I did, that I heard our church resonate with me, it was this one. In fact, our next broadcast, I kind of can't wait to get there to give you the four other styles or ways to reach your world, because some of you are going to say, wow, that's me. You mean you can actually do that and reach people? Well, of course you can. God made different people, so there's different kinds of bridges to reach them. There's that confrontational style or Paul's intellectual style. Now, although I don't see myself at all as an intellectual, I resonate with this. I like to debate and do that sort of stuff even before I became a Christian. I wanted to go to school to be a lawyer because I wanted to build cases and defend things and persuade. And so I found when someone introduced me to Francis Schaeffer and Norman Geisler and Josh McDowell and Oz Guinness and people like that, wow, you mean there's great answers for the faith? It was like, you know, giving a bunch of toys to a kid. But you're thinking, oh, that's not me. That's okay. Paul's way is one way. Peter's way is one way. Or I love the blind man's approach. You know, I don't have all the answers. I can't tell you about evolution. I can't tell you about, you know, epistemology or metaphysics, whatever those words mean. But here's what I know. I was blind, and now I see. Find your approach. Ask God to show you, and then build bridges to people who desperately need Christ.
Well, thanks, Chip. As we wrap up today's program, let me remind you that Living on the Edge is now on TV. That's right. You can watch Living on the Edge each Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DirecTV Channel 378. Now, this new television program has the same great teaching from Chip Ingram, and it's a great way to introduce others to the ministry or to the gospel. That's Living on the Edge TV each Monday night at 7 Eastern on DirecTV Channel 378. Well, join us again tomorrow as Chip continues our current series, Going Public with Your Faith. For Chip Ingram and the entire staff at Living on the Edge, I'm Dave Druey. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.